Conan O'Brien needs a fan. Want to talk to Conan? Visit teamcoco.com/callconan. Okay, let's get started.
Hello!
Oh, hey!
Hi, Rusty. I'd like to apologize.
Oh, hello, King Coco the Red!
Yes!
Podcast blunderer!
Thank you.
Freckled fiend!
Freckled
fiend! Unholy puppet of the gods of mischief and mayhem!
What the hell is going on?
Lady Mosesian of Pasadena, hey! Mother of coyotes.
I love this intro. Thank you very much.
My darling devices! Hello, assorted minions and henchmen. And Aaron the Nerd. What's up?
Oh my God. Who? I have to know. Who are you? Who are you? Identify yourself, sir, immediately.
I am Sir Rusty Rustam Irani from Mumbai, India.
Oh my God. Your name is Rusty and you live in Mumbai, India?
Absolutely.
I don't think I would have guessed that, but I wouldn't have guessed anything. Nothing you said after that intro would make sense to me.
From one cartoon character come to life to another, like, you know, I would expect.
Rusty, I love you already. I really do. You seem like an amazing person. What a burst of energy and joy from Rusty.
Wonderful.
Rusty, tell us a little
And it's only 1:30 a.m. at night, you know?
So, Rusty.
I'm not even caffeinated, so can you believe that?
I don't want to see you on caffeine, if this is you without caffeine. Let me slow it down here for a second. Your name is Rusty. Rusty Irani, and you are from Mumbai, India. That's where you're talking to us from. And tell us a little bit about yourself, Rusty.
Well, I'm from Mumbai, India. I'm born and brought up in India. Mm-hmm. The accent is a result of me having traveled to the U.S. since I was 13 to find the cure for the disease that I suffer from. So I'm on a wheelchair. I've been on a wheelchair all my life. I suffer from this progressive neurological condition called spinal muscular atrophy. It's SMA for short. It's got the world's most expensive drug right now, which I won't ever have access to because, you know, I don't fall under the compassionate user program. So it's a progressive disorder where my body doesn't make this protein that like helps my nerves to, you know, create more nerve cells to help my muscles grow. So hence the atrophy bit. And
Can I ask you quickly? So you have this
it's
ailment,
a progressive neurological
progressive
disorder,
disease,
yes.
And are you? How do you get?
So I could walk as a child, and then I met with a bike accident at the age of 9. Go figure, like, you know. So met with a bike accident, and I've been on a wheelchair for the last 35 years.
Okay,
And I've driven different wheelchairs like since then. And I went to school here in Mumbai, and then I went and studied English from a college here in Mumbai. I majored in English, got my first degree in English, and then I had this bug up my ass because I loved films, and during the whole period of my convalescence as a kid, my mom opened the whole world of cinema and books, and because I could not speak as legibly and as articulately right now as I'm speaking with you guys here. I used to only speak with the head nod and like speaking like this guy, like all every typical Indian, how we usually tend to talk. And so my mom opened like the whole world of books to me and like cinema. And cinema that is not meant for like a 9-year-old. Like, you know, I was exposed to like all the Arnold Schwarzenegger stuff and all the Sylvester Stallone stuff because that's
that stuff isn't meant for adults either. I'll be honest with you, Rusty.
Exactly.
You know what? I'm very impressed though, because
I thought like all Americans spoke like Arnie. Like,
exactly.
Thought, you know, like,
so you're walking around Mumbai as a kid.
And Sylvester Stallone. Like, you know, like Stallone
first
and Arnie. And
7 years ago.
Welcome to Mumbai.
Rusty, first of all, I just love that clearly you've been wrestling with this progressive disease, but you have such...
All pun intended, yes.
Yeah, but you have such a fantastic, I don't know, you have such a fantastic outlook. True. You're so funny.
I'm not one of those disabled guys who shows up on like reality television with like an inspiration porn story. Like, I'm like, I don't even have like those kind of stories. Like, it's all my life, it's all about these wackadoo incidents that have been happening with me. Like, you know, it's like one crazy adventure after another. And like, I can't see myself sitting at home and like, you know, moping about this shit, but I'd rather like, you know, joke about it and like, you know, crack a smile and like go on with life because it's hilarious to me. Like, you know, I don't know how some disabled folk can like, you know, just make some kind of inspiration porn story out of their life and, yeah, self-entitled pricks, but like, you know, me, I'm like different. So I like, you know, like just putting myself out there. Yeah, yeah, you can laugh. Like, you know, I'm allowed to make these jokes. So,
sure.
So yeah.
Well, I mean, you have an amazing spirit and an amazing attitude, Rusty. And tell me, what's it like?
Thank you, Sir Conan.
What is it like to be someone who's in a wheelchair in Mumbai? Uh-huh. What's that experience like?
Well, first of all, they all think like I'm some kind of a, like, you've been to Thailand, right? I mean, I saw the episode that so you remember all those tuk-tuks in Thailand, the small little rickshaw scooters? Bombay is full of those. So every rickshaw guy thinks I'm like some new competition in town. So the moment I step out of my home, and I'm a big guy. I'm like almost like, you know, 56 inches across and I'm like 6'2". So I'm on this chair and everybody thinks I'm just out for a ride. The seriously creepy part about my disease is I don't look disabled. Like, you know, when I speak like this and when I'm like sitting with you guys here, you would not even realize, like, you know, I'm like,
no,
I can hardly function in terms of like my motor skills and my ability to, like, you know, even transfer myself. But when I'm out there, like from the local transportation buses to like guys on like the cows and the dogs, everybody like chases me. If someone's trying to run me off the road, it's mayhem. And Mumbai roads and Mumbai infrastructure is not even meant for like regular pedestrians. You know, let me tell you that.
So they're not, because, you know, in the United States, there's a lot of rules and regulations about, as you know, because you visited here, about wheelchair access and making sure that that people that use wheelchairs.
Sure, you guys also know about this because if you've seen the documentary film Crip Camp, like, you know the kind of struggle the disabled guys in the U.S. had to go through to get the kind
get
of
that,
facilities
yes.
that he got. Exactly. It was like such a, like, they actually went and, like, you know, took over the town hall in San Francisco. You know, I wish I could do that, but nobody here would, like, even come to support me. First of all, I would not even be able to make it to the town hall here. So, like, you know, that would be, like, a challenge.
Right, right. Well, it doesn't sound like it would be much good anyway to go to the town hall. It doesn't sound like they'd be
exactly.
receptive. So,
exactly.
So, what, if I were to come to Mumbai and you and I were to hang out together, what would you want to do with me? What would we do together?
The first thing I'd do is put you on a wheelchair, like, you know, without causing you any bodily harm. And, like, you know, we just, I mean, this big guy on a wheelchair and this other tall freak on the wheelchair, like, you know, causing mayhem all over Mumbai.
Hey, easy there, buddy. Easy.
I mean, have you seen the attitude of the Indians towards, like, any person with, like, pale skin? Like, you know, you would be, like, the star attraction here. Like, you know, like, I could get money from people to just have you on the streets, like, going over ramps like Evel Knievel.
Hey, this,
like,
isn't, you know, a circus, Rusty.
Sounds pretty good.
You can't just say, behold the Conan.
Whoa. Every time I try to get into my vehicle, I have like an audience of 15 to 20 people. Like, you know, if I had charged them, I could have earned enough to, like, you know, pay for some medicine for my disease. Like, you know, like that's the first thing I would do. And the other thing I wanted to do is, like, you know, I want to get all this pent up energy and all this pop culture, like, crap that's full of my, like, experiences and all in my, I want to start my own YouTube channel. Like, you know, I've already trademarked a name called Wheelie Vision. I don't think Wheelie Vision. Yeah. It's a channel by the disabled for the disabled. And it's got nothing to do with like sad stories. It's all about one day dedicated to, like, you know, doing actual wheelchair reviews. Like you would do like a car review.
But this sounds,
dedicated to doing,
cool. this sounds like a fun
like a talk show.
This sounds like a fun, cool channel. And it sounds like you also
been nursing for a long time.
Yeah, it sounds like you would want to do a lot of comedy too.
Oh, I mean, from everything from like a Key and Peele kind of like a skit comedy show where no holds barred, like, you know, like two blind guys having sex using dotted condoms where like the condoms are in braille so you get to learn new things as you're having sex.
Okay, I'm writing these ideas down. Blind guys using, you know, condoms with braille.
And then, like, you know, somebody with like a sign language interpreter going with a deaf guy for a singing competition, and it's the interpreter does the singing, but the guy who is actually deaf and mute gets to win the prize because, you know, they're like.
you're just sitting around thinking of this stuff.
Pitching.
I think about. I wake up at night thinking, what if it's the next zombie apocalypse, and I'm on a wheelchair and I turn into a zombie? I won't be able to operate my wheelchair. Like, you know, I mean, I think about these these things. I think about going to a bar and, like, you know, going way over the limit, and I don't have a designated driver for my wheelchair. Like, you know, how does that work? Like, you know.
So you're suggesting.
And to be honest, like, you know, I go to, like, a pharmacy in the U.S. Here, it's all over the counter prescription. I go to a pharmacy in the U.S. The first thing they hand me is, like, a pill, like a bottle full of pills, and it says, don't operate heavy machinery. I'm always operating heavy machinery. Like, you know, what are you supposed to do? Whatever, you know, it's shit like that. Like, yeah. You know, it's funny. I want people to laugh at the disabled, and not in a bad way. You know, it gets
I think you want them
normalize.
To laugh. You want them to laugh with the disabled. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm curious, you said that you spend a lot of time, obviously you're very well versed in cinema. What about video games? Do you like video games?
Oh, yeah. I grew up on video games. Like, you know, like I said, if you are, like, on a wheelchair, there's not a lot of outdoorsy stuff that you can do, though I, like, gave it a shot. But, yeah, video games, like, were introduced to me at a very young age, from the old Atari system, playing Pong with that big joystick thingy, you know, then moving on to, like, knockoffs. We didn't get, like, American game consoles.
They have ripoffs of popular video games
in
India?
They still proliferate the markets here in Mumbai. Like, you get ripoffs of every known console ever. But they've got these funny Chinese names, like the Nintendo NES used to be called the Samurai system, like, you know, for some reason.
Do they have a knockoff of Grand Theft Auto?
There is one being developed right now in India where they've taken all the old versions of GTA, Grand Theft Auto, and they've taken all the tanned players from, like, the non-NPC characters, the non-playing characters who are all having tans, and they're put into the Indian version of the game. So every tanned NPC player has made it into the Indian version of GTA.
I think they just pulled this up.
We've got a clip here.
Oh, we just, Eduardo, say, yeah, Eduardo yeah. is very fast. Eduardo was just able to find
Excellent.
A clip. This is the...
Indian
version of Grand Theft Auto.
And you see what I mean? There
you go. Oh my God.
What?
Mario's in there.
Mario's in there. They just
beat. multiple Marios.
Multiple.
I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening. That was insane.
Well, to give them due credit, it's still in the prototype stage. So it's still a pilot project. Yeah.
I hope that's the prototype.
I've got some notes.
You have notes?
Not me. That was perfect.
Yeah. I got
and
a
so
few
it
notes.
All involves, yeah. And so there, are, it's all it mostly involves rickshaws.
Grand Theft Auto doesn't
involve cars. It involves rickshaws.
They haven't progressed beyond rickshaws yet. So yeah,
that's wow.
But it's still called Grand Theft Auto.
No. It's got some Indian name. It's a working title. They still haven't figured out what to call it yet.
So you say you live with your mother and your father. Tell me, what's your relationship like with your dad?
They are my caregivers, my best friends. Like, you know,
nice.
And I'm like on first name basis with them in that sense. Like, you know, they know everything about me, and I know.
Wow.
I know sounds like you. About them that's so that cool sense. That you know your parents.
They don't throw potatoes at me, like, you know. Like,
okay,
I know
all right. This is now world famous that my parents were threw potatoes at each other.
Yep. No, but like my dad has, like, he's never given hope. He's now 72, and he always thinks there's a cure right around the corner. And my dad is also my biggest wingman / cock blocker. Like, you know, like every
Wait, how is he a wingman / cock blocker?
I will tell you. Terrible I will tell combo. You how, Mr. Conan. My father thinks that every woman I meet is an ideal mate for me. Like, you know, like he couldn't do better than this. Like, you know, this is the one for him. And so the moment I strike a conversation, again, I'll give you a movie reference. You've seen The Seventh Seal with the God of Death playing chess with that knight, right? The German surrealist film. Matt, you know about this, right?
Yeah, Ingmar Bergman film.
My dad suddenly randomly pops out of nowhere while I'm having a conversation. I'm like using my best lines on a woman at a bar, like asking her to turn me on and play with my joystick. Like, you know, and I'm using like this.
Oh, yeah,
very,
that's
very
great
good...
line, Rusty. I can't believe your dad stepped in and ruined it. I don't think.
So,
you're telling a woman at a bar, play with my joystick, and then you're mad that your dad fucked it up?
Yeah. I mean, can you think of a better line for somebody on a wheelchair who's already like had like a few too many and like meets a very attractive woman who like has shown some promise towards him?
Yes.
And my dad comes up and then he rattles off like all the assets I own and that how I could live independently and I make a pretty decent living and then I would make a great husband and I'm absolutely capable of getting erections and like, you know, giving her as many kids as she wants.
So, oh, okay. Boy.
Well, first of all, this is nothing now, my you know dad didn't I mean, say like... to my dates. He was constantly stepping into the room and saying, he can become erect. It has happened. And then he would go back, he would retreat, and the door would shut. It was like a little cuckoo clock.
Oh, but you just float back.
Yeah, yeah, he'd float back. Erections are possible with the boy. And then,
that was the cuckoo of you get an erection twice a day when the clock strikes. Oh,
yeah. Wow. Well, it sounds like we have similar fathers. They were built to embarrass us. Because, I mean, I was not in a wheelchair, but I had my own struggles. And my father was always coming in at just the worst time and saying the worst thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I think...
Were you playing with your joystick when that happened?
Oh.
Okay. Rusty, please.
Rusty.
I was raised Catholic and we don't masturbate.
Yeah. Let me see your palms. Yeah.
Okay. Rusty.
There's hair growing.
Rusty. Rusty, I don't know what to do with you, Rusty. I really don't. I think, you know what I have to say? I am, you've been dealt a difficult hand, to say the least. But good Lord, you've made this such a joyous experience. You're really funny. Mm-hmm. You have a great sense of humor. It sounds like you're having a good time. And I applaud you. Yeah. I really do. I think you're a really impressive person. And
it's
very cool to know you. It really is.
It has been cool to know you for the last 30 years.
And if I can get to Mumbai, I would happily... Mm-hmm. Ride around in a wheelchair with you side by side.
Yeah, and if I can, like, you know, make a few Americans cripple and, like, bring them along on wheelchairs, that would help with my other startup as well. Like, you know, I'm starting a startup called includetrip.com.
Oh.
It's like a travel startup for people with disabilities to come and visit India.
Show the world. That's a very cool idea.
And also sounds like he could use a new wingman.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, I'm not a great wingman.
I'm not biased that way.
Rusty, I'm not a great wingman, but I'm a lot better than your father. Okay?
Yeah.
I'll
take your word for it when you're around here. So,
All right, I can prove it. Well, Rusty, it's so cool to talk to you.
Such a pleasure, Connor.
Yeah, such a pleasure to talk to you.
You made my day, my year, my decade since 1993 when I was channel surfing for porn and came across you for the first time.
I always show up in porn. I don't know why, but I got more fans who thought they were finding porn. They said more people typed in than what they did. I guess they just typed in, I want to see a dick. And then I popped up.
No. It wasn't like that. The first guy I saw was the late, great Joel Goddard with like a young Korean guy by his side.
Oh,
and then
my God.
Up.
He was.
Oh, yeah. He
was awesome. I think Joel Goddard's still alive.
I think he is.
Yeah, Joel Goddard's still alive.
I think he is.
Let's not get it out there that he's dead because they might try and bury him.
Okay. the great Joel Goddard then.
Yeah. He's still alive. It's that line from the first Godfather.
Preparation H, Raymond, and like.
Oh my God. It's a super fan.
Yeah.
Hey, Rusty.
Absolutely.
I'm so glad that you found me. You were searching for porn, but you found Conan O'Brien, and that's the best way to find me. And thrilled to have such a funny, creative, cool person, be a fan.
Pleasure's all mine, Conan. Pleasure's all mine.
Yeah. Well, I hope we...
And you guys are awesome too, Sona, Matt, Aaron, all you guys. Like, you know, like, you made it worth, like, pushing through the pandemic.
Thank you.
You made it worth my while. And like, you know, I mean, I just put in this, like, you know, everybody like asked me even during the pre-checks, like, you know, how many times did you apply? I said, I just did it the once. And if it was meant to be, it was meant to be. And,
That's so cool.
It was meant to be. So
well, Rusty, I hope to meet you in person one day. But until then,
same here, Conan.
Be well. Tell your father to knock it off. and take good care of yourself.
Long days, pleasant night, folks. It was wonderful talking to all of you.
Take care,
Rusty. Have a lovely, lovely day. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Fan. With Conan O'Brien, Sonam Movsesian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Jeff Ross, and Nick Liao. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Take it away, Jimmy. Supervising producer Aaron Blaird. Associate talent producer Jennifer Samples. Associate producers Sean Doherty and Lisa Berm. Engineering by Eduardo Perez. Get 3 free months of SiriusXM when you sign up at SiriusXM.com/Conan. Please rate, review, and subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Fan wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.